of the international engineering and consulting firm AMEC that were prepared design plans. So the city has been trying over 8 years to trying to get this money raised up. When they applied for the loan, they wasn't credit worthy, so they stayed after it and finally was able to get this in place. So by 2018 in December, I guess the streets will look different. So that's, you might say that's a long ways off, but that's it's right around the corner for that. So you'll go be able to go to Clarkson and everything will look all nice on the street. So that might entice more businesses to come into there. You know, more people want to move in there with a lot of money to spend. So that's an upgrade to beautify the city with a big diversified population. A lot of different people from all over the world moved into Clarkson. At one time, it was mostly 90% white. They moved out and took off to, I guess, greener pastures, what they were considered. Now, there's a lot of immigrants there, so people are beginning to spruce it up, so probably bring some more people back into that. And let's hope it stays positive, that the people who come in there, they can work with the people who are living there now and not try to make somebody get out and say they're beautifying it for them to come back in. So let's hope this all works out for the current population that lives there and everybody can live in harmony in the new area that's beginning to get beautified. So let's hope everything continue to stay positive and nothing negative comes into this. Somebody comes in and say, okay, we're making it beautiful for others to come in and some of you to move out. Let's just hope that we all can work together and live in harmony in the little small place in Clarkston. So I think that's a good thing. Myself, when I go over there, the streets kind of look a little different from where I come from, whatever. But this is a good thing for this little city, and maybe people will come in and maybe want to shop more, and maybe big businesses will come in there and help boost up the economy and the population, and different people come in. So I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk. We're going to go back to more music and come back with our next topic about the raising of the minimum wage, and some of the Republicans are fighting against that. I guess they want to keep people poor and, you know, keep them dependent on food stamps. I think the raising of the minimum wage will, you know, be able to cut up some slack of some of those people getting off, because some of them then pretty much would maybe not qualify, but the Republicans, they don't want to raise anything. So we're going to come back and talk about that.
Come on, give on in, give me a
I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk. We're on every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We can be heard also on Cigar Radio every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Our next topic is going to be about the raising of the minimum wage. One of the Republican senators, he's questioning why the Democrats are trying to raise this from $7.25 up to about $10. So he said if you raise the minimum wage, you're going to cost yourself jobs. The people who do the hiring are going to eliminate those jobs. Most of the people who are making minimum wage, they appear to be in the little restaurants or, you know, knick-knack jobs. So to me, if I look at it like this, if I was unemployed and I had to work on a job that paid me $7.25 an hour, it might be more profitable for me to stay on unemployment. So this guy, I don't know what kind of a business that he owns or who he is in cahoots with, but to me, I think if you raise the minimum wage, you get a little bit more person who want to go out and maybe take a job at McDonald's or whatever other kind of job. I mean, there's a way for people who pay minimum wage in most of the restaurants, they could get you know, you can go more in-depth into the food training part of it. You know, make sure they got those skills. And, of course, you're probably going to have to eliminate some people. They're down there. They're going to eliminate themselves. Some people, grown-ups, go take a job like that in order to qualify for those food stamp things. So they're going to say, oh, no, that's $10 an hour. It's a little bit too much for me. Or now they want me to learn something. I just can't come down here and make a hamburger and make a mess of it and not know proper food safety or whatever kind of job I'm doing. So that's a way to justify paying somebody $10 an hour. You just have to get a little bit more training out of them and show them more things to do. So I guess with the $7.25 an hour minimum wage, you're showing them the bare minimum. So that's why you're trying to justify yourself for paying that. But I don't know why anybody in America, if you're in business, would try to go and eliminate jobs just because the minimum wage went up. I mean, to me, you have to look. The economy is growing. I mean, everything goes up year to year. So you want to be able to compete. You don't want to be able to go out and find the best employers that your money can buy, not sit around and say, okay, I wish the $7.25 would go down to $4 an hour. People like out in California, New York City, you're definitely not going to be able to live $7.25 an hour. So that's living crazy. Those people would be in homeless shelters, you know, having a job but still be not able to make it. Here in Georgia, the economy is increasing and things are getting higher. You wouldn't really be able to make a living doing that either. So it's Rob Portman, the Republican of Ohio. I guess he likes to put out information to scare people. Oh, if you raise the minimum wage, people are going to stop hiring or whatever. He's almost like Chicken Little, ran around hollering that the sky was falling. I mean, sky wasn't falling with Chicken Little, and I don't imagine anybody who has a successful business is going to not hire, because you can go into some of these places that are paying minimum wage, the restaurants or whatever, the grocery stores or whatever, they need to hire somebody. The lines are backed up or whatever. And some of those people, you just turn right around and go out and go to the person who has the place properly staffed. So you can play those games here in America, but it'll cost you in the end when you don't have the people to do the job to help you reach your goals. So listening to Rob Portman and trying to hold the country hostage, say, oh, I'm not going to hire because you raised the minimum wage. I mean, don't want to pay. You don't want to compete and pay a competitive salary. Get out of the business you're in and just go home and let other people who want to help keep America on its feet and help people reach the top and get some people off food stamps so they don't qualify, let them take the front. I mean, you don't have any good ideals and you're just talking about everything is for you, and you want to keep this at $7.25 an hour or even go lower. I mean, maybe just get out of business. Just don't go be in the newspaper or on the TV complaining that you can't make it, because you look at the fast food restaurants and the grocery stores, you're making a whole lot of money, and you have it most of the time understaffed, so that money's not going to hurt you or whatever to give somebody a little bit more to help them survive and get off the food stamp system. I think that is a way to help lift America up and also help save the American taxpayer some money by cutting back some of those people off the food stamps. I mean, you give them a little more competitive salary, so they're not depending as much on the government subsidy as they would before, making $7.25 an hour. So I think this is a win-win situation. Some people even hollered that they wanted to go up to 15. Now, that would be a big raise. So then if you raise the minimum wage, I see you would probably have to raise the other people who are making money too to get them farther away from that. But like I said before, the economy is steady growing. Everything is getting expensive here in America. So we need to try something. We need to try to get as many people as we can off welfare. So I think that would be better than you cutting billions of dollars off the system. We should just look at raising the minimum wage. So getting some of those people who on minimum wage off the government subsidy, keep them out of the welfare line by raising up their money and pay. So then they don't qualify for those benefits. So that would be a better cut of the benefits than doing just flat cutting people off the benefits and you not raising the minimum wage for them to make money or make a living. So I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk. We're on every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're going to go back to more music and come back with our next topic about the Republicans saying they're seeing their popularity rise up and they think they can get the Senate and the House back. So we're going to come back and talk about that after the music.
I know you dim the rainbow's glow. There's no power on this earth to separate us.
I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk. We're on every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We also could be heard on Cigar Radio every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Our next topic is about Republican Party. Even though their rating is low, their hopes are high that they're going to make a lot of progress, you know, getting their position back and getting back into power. But if you look at the things that the Republican Party has been doing this year, you know, shutting down the government to prove a point that they could do, you know, just doing nonsense stuff. Why would you vote for anybody like that? They haven't really, to me, shown to be anything more than what they've been the last couple of years, a bunch of old men doing a lot of complaining. To me, it appears that some of the Republican guys want to hold on to old ways that back in the day where they did things or whatever, Americans were successful. Now you have to have new ideas. A lot of them, they'll get up and holler that they did things like Ron Reagan would do. Okay, Ron Reagan was in the 80s. We're 2013. See, somebody gets up in politics and holler about, you know, how Ron Reagan did business or whatever. Okay, the first thing in your mind, don't vote for somebody who's talking about somebody who's long dead and was in office almost over 30 years ago. So you're behind the time. You don't have anything to move anybody forward. I mean, everything Barack Obama has tried to do, they've been wanting to stop it because they didn't come up with the idea. They're just, like I said before, a bunch of old guys sitting around with bad ideas. And when somebody comes up with a good idea, they get mad and try to stop it. Almost like children playing on a playground. You get beat. You bring the basketball over to the playground. You get beat with your own basketball. You try to go home and take it or say, okay, this is the rules. Here's what I'm going to do. I mean, you can't go and act to be children. To me, there's nobody in the Republican Party that can take this country forward in any of those seats, whether it be the president or the Senate or anything. To me, they're just all appear to be past their prime. But even the younger ones, they're too busy following the House leader and John McCain. They should just maybe pull those two aside and say, look, you two have had your day in the sun and whatever. Just step aside and let somebody else, you know, lead. You know, see, be what the people want. You know, Barack Obama is very popular and charismatic. The rest of them, Joe Biden, he appears to be riding on that success. Now, once Barack get out of office, I think he's going to have to work to try to win the presidency. But the Democrats are probably going to need to trot out somebody a lot better than him and a little bit more charm, because I don't think he'd be able to win in the office without Barack or anything. But I'm pretty sure that some young Democrat that can put things together and make a charge for the office. But as far as the Republicans, the young guys appear to stay out and back up the two who always run in their mouth and causing a lot of harm to the Republican Party. So that's their problem. They're too busy following the two old guys whose time has come and gone. So I don't think they will ever really too quickly get into power unless the Democrats trot out somebody who they've pretty much went into the graveyard and dug up, and that's possible, too. Somebody who's so boring that nobody wants to vote for them, so more people will stay away from the polls than come to the polls, so they'll get the office back like that. I can see that being possible, but as far as them just, you know, taking over and getting a landslide of votes, I doubt it. Most people think they have 55% of the people think they have a good chance of, taking over next year's congressional elections, and 43% said they don't. Said they 43% said of the people said they will vote for the Democrats. 55% said they will vote for the Republicans if the election took place right now. But you know, a lot of people are just trying to harp on the part about the Obamacare, you know, when it trotted out the glitches. But when everything comes out, it pretty much has glitches. You have to work out the bugs. So you just can't go on a couple of months with that Obamacare that people had difficulty signing up, that you said, oh, everything he's done has been bad or whatever, and try to heap it on the Democrats. Now, you had some phony Democrats who, basically probably fair weather politicians. Once things wasn't going their way, they try to criticize the president, but those people are probably not going to win their seat. Even if Barack was coming back in a couple more years, they're just people who are riding on the coattail of somebody. When something goes bad in your group and you turn on the group and try to agree with somebody else, you don't need those people. So that's something that the Republican Party, look, that's one thing they haven't shown. They should turn on the two leaders of the group, McCain and whatever the other guy's name, but they haven't. They managed to stay back and stay in the shadows. And I think that has cost the young Republicans in the group. So until one of the young faces speak up and get out front and stop listening to the other two old ones who time has passed, they're going to remain the party that pretty much can't get any of the seats back or take the presidency back, unless the Democrats go into the graveyard and dig up somebody who's just horrible. So I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk. We're on every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're going to go back to more music and come back with our next topic.
I just can't understand, for the life of me, what I see in you. Yet every time you talk of leaving me, I get so shook up, I don't know what to do. Oh, baby,
I guess you got your hooks in me.
I'm caught like a fish.
And baby, I just can't break free.
You know, this thing is killing me. I must like it, or I wouldn't be here, baby. Every time I get behind your back, I tell my friends I'm leaving you.
Oh. And you question me about it, baby,
I swear what they're saying just ain't true. No, no. Oh, baby,
I guess
killing me,
oh,
I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk. We're on every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Our next topic is going to be about the Atlanta Public School cheating scandal. They've gotten another a second defendant to plead guilty, claiming that he gave answers to students who was taking the test. This seems like this has been going on to me forever. You know, we're talking about, you know, children taking a basic skill test in the Atlanta school system and not being able to pass it. Like I said before, the teachers, they have a lot to blame for it, but also, too, once you go to school, sit in the classroom for 8 hours, and you change from class to class and learn different subjects. You get off the school bus with the knowledge in your head. I hope you got off the school bus with something in your head, but unfortunately, some of these people was probably at the school with their head down, you know, sleep or whatever, you know, just went there to eat and should have, to me, possibly should have been identified before they was allowed to take the test and put out. I know that sounds ugly, but sometimes, you know, an ounce of prevention would prevent all this trouble that they're having now. You're allowing somebody to go down and take a test. It's a basic skill test that we all took when we went to school here in Georgia, and we passed it. I mean, because once they notified your parents that the test was coming up, they made sure when you got off the bus that you were still preparing, doing your homework and doing what you were supposed to do. Not go home, play video games, or do whatever that they do now. And unfortunately, we can look at it, pick up the newspaper, and every week, every day, they're talking about the Atlanta public school system cheating scandal. And I'm pretty sure this scandal is going all over America. Because if you look at it, just this morning I picked up the paper. Somebody out in Colorado, he had a problem with the school teacher. He decided to go there with a gun looking for the teacher. He gets wounds some people out there. And the teacher that he's looking for, he's getting warned that somebody's looking for him and he leaves the school, hoping that the shooter would leave the school, but instead the guy goes and shoots some people, then kills himself. So to me, I think we need to, you know, have a lot more control over our students, our children, than we have right now. I mean, in my day, we never heard of anybody going to school with a gun or, you know, some of this nonsense that we're hearing around, all around the country, not here, not just here in Atlanta, but it's all around the country. You know, you going to school with guns and doing things that not pertaining to learning. I mean, if you want to carry a gun, you don't need to go to school. Just go ahead and hang out on the streets or whatever and do whatever people do in the street and get dealt with in that manner or what you're trying to do on the street. But it's obvious nobody here is going to school to learn anything. So they just go in there, and then they want to blame the school teachers. So once we get all these school teachers out of the system, waste up all our tax dollars, you know, doing that, then we got to hire more people to get back in this school system. And then these teachers get in the school system, and A, they either, okay, so I'm giving up here. Nobody knows how to do the basic skill test. I'm going to quit before I get fired. So we're just basically like a dog just running around, chasing our tail in a circle, when the real problem is probably at home. Most of those parents, they probably never go and see how their child is doing at the school. They just sit back and then lay blame. And once this scandal came out, a lot of parents go and holler that their child was robbed of an education. But I think that goes in two parts. When you go to school, you get one. And then when you get off the bus, you have to enforce the knowledge that the teachers are trying to give you down at the school. I think those parents at home, majority of them, never enforced anything. Just allowed them to play the video games, not study, not do the homework, and you not work on them with where their weakness was at to help enforce what the teacher was teaching. So now you have this, not being able to pass a basic skill test, and we are seeing it play out all over the news, in the newspapers and the TV, and people just look to Georgia and say, wow, they're dumb. I mean, they can't pass a basic skill test, but I think this problem just doesn't pertain to Georgia. It's all over the country. But some of these people have managed to keep their mouth shut what is going on and deal with it behind the scenes, eliminate the teachers and the students from around the school system. But here in Atlanta, I guess we want to bring negative response, you know, show that we're working on a problem. I mean, to me, you show somebody you got a school system like this, can't pass a basic skill test, why would any company bring any of their employees and move their family here to Atlanta or anywhere in Georgia? Because you have a bad school system. I mean, we need to address the problems on all ends, the parents and the teachers, not just eliminate teachers. Then we got to go back and hire more of them, have a shortage. This doesn't make sense. So should they, just like the rest of the country to me, shut our mouth up and handle it internally, not go and put it all over the newspaper or whatever, because we've still hadn't got any better results than we would have if we'd have handled it behind the scenes. But we brought it to the forefront, and we're looking stupid. We did this. It's going on all last year and still going on. Just firing teachers who, to me, was just trying to keep their jobs when they were presented with people who are not in the business of really going to school. Some of these people go down there with guns, telephones, or whatever, you know, playing around. It's like this. When I go to my job, I have to do a certain percentage on my job, or eventually they're going to eliminate me there. So I think the start of the year, you should put in a couple of policies and things that they must apply to or whatever, or you get eliminated from there. You just not to go to school and be a disturbance and at the end of the day fail a basic skill test. So I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk. We're on every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're going to go back to more music and come back with our next topic with involved the imposter at Nelson Mandela's funeral who said he was giving sign languages but was actually just up there slapping his hands and making a fool of himself and, you know, disrespecting the deaf people. So you often wonder, how does a person get so close to all the world leaders? And that's not even his job. He shouldn't even have been there, but I guess people are doing jobs and hiring people who shouldn't be on it. So we're going to be back after the music break and discuss that topic.
Yes! I won't hurt, I'll treat you ever so gentle.
honey, you'll never forget this night. Just let me make love to you, baby. I'll be good, I'll be better than better, neater than neater, sweeter than sweeter. I promise I'll do anything you want me to. Everything a man in love would do. When the morning comes, puts the night on the run. Let's not stop this fun, 'cause we've only begun to love, begun to love. I won't stop till you ask me to, tell me to, beg me to. Oh baby, I'm counting on you, darling, to make this wish come true.
I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk. We're on every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We also could be heard on Cigar Radio every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Our next topic is about an interpreter, basically an imposter that showed up at Nelson Mandela's funeral and started giving sign language, signing for the deaf, but none of those signs was anything. It was just basic slapping himself. And once I read this article, I said to myself, how could a person just, you know, walk up there amongst all the world's leaders, you know, all the security, you know, be near Barack Obama and everybody else who's the leaders of different countries and be up there, you know, and nobody questioned him or anything, but he was up there near Nelson Mandela's children up there on the podium, you know, giving signs, you know, for all the world to see. And all the deaf, they knew that those signs wasn't any good. So he wasn't going to get discovered, pretty much, unless somebody was in that audience there that would go up and tell it. But then that would be a little too late. But this man had reached the major stage. All the world was watching while this was going on. He's giving out bogus signs. So we're going to tell you a little about it. The South African sign language interpreter accused of using fake signs at Nelson Mandela's memorial service this week said he suffered a schizophrenic episode at the event. But another interpreter said this was not the first time Tasmekwa Jantees has done bogus interpretations. Jantees, who has been called an imposter by sign experts, told Johannesburg Star newspaper Thursday that he hallucinated and heard voices during the memorial service. "There was nothing I could do. I was alone in a very dangerous situation," Jantee said. I tried to control myself and not show the world what was going on. I'm very sorry in this situation I found myself in. Yeah, this man should be sorry. You know, the world is trying to remember Nelson Mandela, you know, in a good manner. And here you come up here with some negative stuff, you know, giving bogus signs to the deaf. You know, there was time to let the funeral be seen and heard through all different manners, and you come up not representing the deaf problem. So you should be sorry on that, but I fault the people who are in charge of security and whatever. I mean, surely somebody would have to recognize your face or something and see that you've been somewhere before doing these bogus signs, but you somehow slipped onto the stage around all these world's leaders and up, you know, doing something that gives South Africans a black eye. It's almost as if, okay, you went and found somebody on the corner and said, okay, get up there and do whatever. I don't care what you do or whatever. So we have to be showing a lot more concern about who we bring into things in this. That's what also could be here in America, but I don't think we would be that lax to allow somebody who has no credentials to get up in front of the world and embarrass himself and the people you are supposed to be representing them. But then again, this Eric Snowden, he did work with somebody that I don't know whether his family had a contract with the government, go into the computer and steal these secrets and give out information that he shouldn't have given out. And his background was less than stellar, too. Kicked out of the military, didn't finish high school, didn't have any college. So you also wonder, what was his credentials? Why was he there, too? So really can't say dirty poo really too much on South Africa, because we already made that boo-boo, and we had to run him out. Well, he ran himself out of the country, and he's hiding in Russia, telling people stuff that basically they already knew, that they was being spied on and checked. So in this world now, you have so many rotten people that you need to be spied on and checked. This guy, he went to an event and did sign language before that was bogus. So to me, if he was being spied on and checked on at all times, we'd have known that he was still out there. But unfortunately, some people holler, oh, you invading my privacy. So you can't do that. But when we don't check, you see what happens. When we didn't check, the 9/11 people, they came over, you know, training as pilots. And what did they do? Steal a plane and run it into the towers. When we didn't check, Eric Snowden to the T, what did he do? He goes and steal information out of the computer and goes to blabbing his mouth to people who already knew some of this stuff. And then when these people didn't check who they were supposed to do, what they were supposed to do, you get embarrassed by an imposter who's done it twice. But this time at a world's leader's funeral with all the world watching, all the big wigs there, you embarrass South Africa by sneaking on the stage. And to me, I don't see why he hasn't been punished or locked up. I mean, that alone, causing somebody to look stupid as if they've never done a check or anything, a background check on somebody, and you're still walking free. So you wouldn't be walking free or giving an interview to the newspaper talking about you was going to a schizophrenic episode. I think you had more of your mind than you let on to do, because a schizophrenic person would have probably just fallen to pieces right away when he got on the stage. I mean, you took the ruse all the way through the funeral, you know, just as if you was doing something. So to me, you should be locked up and not be able to give any more interviews. So I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk. We're on every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We're going to go to our next topic, the North Korean leader, Jan's song, where Kim Jong had his uncle executed, Jam Song. So this goes to show you, first everybody thought, well, I still think this guy's a little crazy person looking for attention, but now you show that he shows to all the world that you can't put anything past this man. His uncle had ideas, you know, for the top job. And he had him executed. I mean, he didn't just remove him from the job or whatever, or tell him he couldn't work for him anymore. just had the man killed. We don't know whether he was hung or shot to death, but he had this man totally removed from life because he maybe felt threatened for his life or whatever, but or his job. But how I would have just handled this, I would have just had him removed and told him to get on and don't come back or whatever, or go get his own place. But this dangerous man has this man wiped out from life just because he thought this guy was challenging his position. So we're going to give you a little information on it. The powerful uncle of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has been executed as a traitor for all ages, the official news agency report. Jang Song-taek faced a special military tribunal Thursday and was convicted of anti-party counter-revolutionary factional acts in a bid to overthrow the communist country leadership, KCNA reported Friday in Pyongyang. The state news agency did not say when or how Jang was killed. The North Korean media reported Monday that Jang had been purged from crimes that included factional building, corruption, drug use, and womanizing. He was considered the country's most powerful figure after his nephew, Kim Jong-un. So I think Kim Jong-un felt, you know, threatened and decided to have his uncle removed because I think his nephew is doing the same thing, womanizing, using drugs, and doing whatever too. And he also appears to have some type of friendship with Dennis Rodman. And we in America already know that Dennis Rodman, he does a lot of womanizing, drug uses, and other things too. So if you're hanging around with him, you're doing the same thing your uncle was doing. So maybe your uncle was doing a little better than him, so he had him removed from life. So this person, if you kill any of your relatives to keep your job, you are a very dangerous person and bear to be watched even more. You know, first people just dismissed him as some type of clown or whatever, but this clown now has shown that he's ruthless and will do anything to hold on to his position. So he had his uncle wiped out. And maybe his uncle needed to be wiped out. Maybe he had those plans to wipe him out. I don't know, but America needs to keep an eye on this Korean leader at all times and not just fall asleep on him. And even the next president or whoever gets in the office, when it's time for them to take the office, keep an eye on this man at all times. Don't fall asleep and allow him to do anything. So I'm Ezell Clark here on Community Talk. We're on every Saturday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. We also could be heard on Cigar Radio. We're going to go back to more music.
Still in a moment of oh baby,
here we go.
Climbing the stairway to heaven, climbing the stairway to heaven, and we're going step by step together, step by step. Oh, oh yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Here we go,
oh baby,
oh, baby.
Thank you. The next time we see each other,